Welcome to the latest edition of the ETD Briefing. My name is Rob Morby. I'm from the ETD Client Consulting team here at UBS, which is a specialist team that keep you up to date on key developments in the exchange traded derivatives marketplace. I'm here today at our London offices, and I'm joined by Caroline Koska, who's from our governmental affairs team. So welcome, Caroline.
Thanks, Rob. Very nice to be joining you today.
So today we're going to be speaking about EMIR 3, and that is following the recent publication of the final rules into the EU Official Journal, or the OJ. However, before we do that, I would like to bring your attention to some important disclaimers on UBS.com, and you can see those just at the bottom of the podcast webpage where you found this podcast. Right, okay, so EMIR 3.0. This has been a topic that we've watched closely in the ETD community, and that's been for some time now, given its potential to mandate some of the Euro OTC and listed derivatives contracts to be cleared within the EU. And this is not only something that could affect firms directly, but we also think it could impact market structure for these products more broadly. So before we get into the detail, I just want to recap. We saw the European Council and the Parliament reach provisional agreement on this regulation way back in February of this year. And we covered that in our podcast at the time. We've now just seen the final rules published into the EU Official Journal, and that was on the 4th of December. And I understand that marks a bit of a significant step in this journey. So Caroline, you've been following this development quite closely. Are you able to elaborate on the significance of the publication and in particular anything that means in practical terms?
Yes, certainly. The publication of the final text of the MS3 regulation in the EU Official Journal defines the point at which the rules become EU law, which is on the 20th day following that of the publication in the EU Official Journal, that is to say on the 24th of December. This date of entry into force is very important here, as in the case of MS3, most requirements will become immediately applicable on this date, and this in the absence of implementing rules that will be ready only next year. In addition, some new requirements will become applicable at a later stage next year with a phased approach starting in June. Finally, ESMA, the European Securities and Markets Authority, is already working on the development of the detailed implementing rules required by MS3. ESMA has just recently launched a first public consultation on draft implementing rules for the new active account requirement, which provides firms with detailed information on how to comply with this new requirement.
Yeah, thanks, Caroline. I just want to pick up on that last point there. Am I right in understanding then that the in-scope firms will be required to comply with the rules based only on these high-level provisions of the regulation, and that more detailed implementing rules are going to take a bit more time to be drafted?
Yes, that's correct. While requiring the development of detailed implementing rules, the MS3 regulation is drafted in a way which mandates its immediate application as of the date of its entry into force, and this irrespective of the absence of the required implementing rules. This construct of the MS3 regulation is clearly unfortunate, as it creates additional implementation complexity for market participants, which must comply with the MS3 new requirement without having the full information available on how to comply. This issue was raised in Brussels by the industry, but unfortunately without success, so that MS3 will go live on the 24th of December for most requirements, while the implementing rules will be developed over the coming months. In this respect, ESMA is responsible for developing the MS3 implementing rules, which will then be reviewed and adopted by the European Commission and subject to the European Parliament and Council's right of scrutiny over a 3-month period. It is only at the end of this process that, in the absence of objections from EU co-legislators, the proposed implementing rules will be deemed approved and published in the EU Official Journal to be applicable. In this situation that we have, where implementing rules are not yet available, We understand that market participants, which are subject to MES3 new requirements, should seek guidance from the national competent authorities if they have any questions on how to comply with certain requirements.
Right, understood. So I think in summary, there's still some scope for further clarification on the rules. And this is probably a good point to remind ourselves of what some of those rules are. So I'm just going to read those off my list here. So firstly, we've got a number of existing temporary exemptions, which are going to be either simplified or made permanent. That includes intra-group clearing and also margin exemptions. We'll also see a MIA 3 introduce some changes to the clearing thresholds calculation. So I can see particularly the scope of derivatives that must be included in that calculation is going to be adjusted. And then to your point on ESMA's need to further draft some of the implementing rules, I think it's also worth noting that some of the values for those clearing thresholds are going to be set by ESMA within the next 12 months of the MIA 3 entry into force. So that'll be by late December next year, 2025. And then we've also got here a number of enhanced transparency requirements on clearing services. So this is where our clients and many clients across the industry are going to start to see disclosure statements being distributed by their clearing service providers. And those disclosures will give more information on those clearing service providers' ability to clear EU CCPs and also provide a bit more information on margin calculations and processes as well. But finally, and perhaps the requirement that got the most attention in the EMEA 3 proposal is the new active account requirement. So Caroline, are you able to just recap the scope and timelines of this particular requirement?
Sure. So the new active account requirement, which is intended to increase clearing on EU CCPs, was a major focus of the EU institutional negotiations on the proposed EMEA 3 regulation. This new obligation basically requires EU firms which are subject to EMIR clearing obligation and which are above certain de minimis threshold to first hold for certain categories of derivatives contract an active account at the EU CCPs, and second, to clear annually in the EU a representative minimum number of those in scope derivatives, which include certain classes of interest rate swaps denominated in euro and Polish zloty, and short-term interest rate derivative denominated in euro. Finally, in-scope firms have 6 months from the date of entry into force of the EMES3 regulation to have an open account at the EU CCP and to meet the active account functionality and representativeness requirements. In the meantime, ESMA must also specify by the 25th of June 2025 the detailed conditions of the active account requirements.
Thanks, understood. So with there still being quite a bit left to be defined by ESMA, what is the regulatory process from here? And when in particular are we going to start to see a bit more detail?
So given the tight timeline that is provided for the entry into effect of the new active account requirement next year in June, ESMA has exceptionally already published ahead of the publication of the MES3 regulation, the EU Official Journal, a consultation paper which outlines proposed requirements to meet the functionality conditions and which specifies the details of the representativeness obligation as well as the related reporting requirements. Market participants have until the 27th of January to provide feedback to this consultation. ESMA will then consider the feedback received in Q1 next year with a view to finalize and submit as soon as possible the implementing rules for the active account requirement to the European Commission for approval. Rob, perhaps I could ask you a question. What are the client challenges you are seeing with the active account requirement?
Yeah, so the setup and compliance with the requirement is a little easier for listed derivatives clearing. And this is where clients can typically access ETD clearing through their existing clearing service provider with little additional setup. And this is as opposed to OTC clearing, where CCP specific setup, it often requires additional onboarding, things like setting up new accounts, and that can take some time. And I guess the other part to note is that I understand firms, including our clients, are going to need to start reporting on their compliance with this representative obligation in the second half of 2025. And that is so that regulators start to get a view on how effective MIR 3 is at bringing that euro clearing activity within the European Union. And I guess, Caroline, just looking beyond this immediate phase of implementation, so that's after the various compliance dates come into effect, what can we expect from EMIR 3.0? Will we see further tweaks to this legislation?
That's an interesting question, Rob. I would say that while the active account requirement will become applicable only in June next year, the MS3 regulation requires ESMA to assess the effectiveness of this new requirement already by June 2026 and to determine accordingly whether some additional measures are necessary to further reduce euro clearing outside the EU as per the objective of this regulation. So the possible additional measures could include, for instance, the implementation of a so-called quantitative requirement, which was extensively debated during the MS3 legislative process, and which would be certainly more onerous for market participants. However, from a political perspective, it really remains to be seen whether there might be sufficient appetite after the recent lengthy MS3 negotiation to reopen the regulation so soon to further force the relocation of euro clearing into the EU.
Yeah, I mean, I think given the level of work that still needs to go into drafting the implementing rules, I think I can sympathise with those legislators that might want to avoid making any further changes at this point. Look, before we close out this podcast, I don't think any EMIR 3 update would be complete without a bit of a comment on how this might shape liquidity in those in-scope products. So as listeners to our last podcast will remember, in the case of euro interest rate swaps in particular, LCH has a 90% market share by volume. And that is actually a similar story in the case of Euribor short-term interest rate contracts as well, where we see ICE enjoying that similar market share again. Where things are a little different is on the ESTA contracts, and we do see a bit more balance there. So in ESTA, Eurex have just over half the market share, and that is actually a position they've gained in a relatively short period of time since they launched the product only a few years ago. And I think what we expect to see is that in the early days after the active account requirement comes into effect, any liquidity shift we see is probably going to depend largely on how much of that liquidity is actually generated by counterparties that are in scope of the requirement. And just looking at some of the numbers, and although these numbers aren't as recent as we might like, a report on the LSEG website actually highlights that the market for euro swaps is fairly global. And in 2022, 70% of those euro swaps were actively cleared by non-EU counterparties. Look, I think in short, it's definitely still one to watch at this point. So look, Caroline, thank you for joining us on the podcast today. That was very insightful.
Thanks, Rob. You're very welcome. It was a pleasure.
And as always, if our listeners would like to discuss EMIR 3 or any other listed derivatives topics, please do feel free to get in touch with your usual UBS representative.